Would you stand with me, please, as I read from Scripture? And first from John, I came to give life with joy and abundance. And now from Philippians, be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things, whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us. The peace of God will be with you. That's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Alice. You may be seated. Boy, I'll tell you, I love that last part of John 10:10 that Alice shared with us from John's gospel, that I came to give life with joy and abundance. Don't you love that? Seems like that should end with an exclamation mark. I came to give life with joy and abundance. You know, I think you all should memorize that. So I want you to say that with me. I came to give life with joy and abundance. That is awesome. And I'm thinking that'll come in handy, because you never know in your family, in your circle of friends, in the sphere of your influence, if somebody might come up to you and say, "Why Jesus?" Then you can say, "Jesus came to give life with joy and abundance." Last week, we talked about a part of an abundant life. That's what we're talking about in this whole series called Abundant. And last week, we talked about love. And we talked about how love that we experience in an abundant life, in the eternal life, is a love that breaks free the bonds of our heart, that perspective that only we can see, and it breaks that bond free so that we can see others' perspectives. A love that lifts up relationship over being right, and a love that truly frees us to forgive. You can't have an abundant life without love. And the same is said of joy. And joy is what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're not always joyful, though, are we? Are you all joyful right now? Well, that's a good answer. Those of you at home, I heard you too. But there's probably some of us that just aren't exactly filled up with joy, because that is human nature. That's part of our human condition. Down in the basement of the parsonage, we have a set of old VHS tapes. Remember those? We have one that's almost 29 years old. It's Christmas Eve, 1992. And we have a VHS down in the basement, so I popped that tape in. And what we were watching, it was just a joy to see, because we had a house full of people on 713 South Pickwick in Springfield, Missouri. And everybody was just so happy. You know, that evening we had a Christmas Eve meal of great food, like Little Smokies and oyster soup. Yeah, I know some of you are going, "Ugh, that's good, it's good." We had gathering around the piano to sing Christmas carols. Later we broke out our instruments, trumpets and recorders and flutes, and we had a little mini concert. And then my son Nathan cajoled his younger cousins into providing a very impromptu and very concise production of Scrooge down in the foyer below the stairs. And so as we're all gathered watching this production of Scrooge, the camera is panning around, and you just see all these joyful faces, happy faces. And you see all these laughter, and just it just feels so good. But then the camera panned up to the top of the stairs, and there in shadow, well, there was my son Jeremy and my niece Cassie. And even though it was shadowy, and this is an old VHS tape, so you know how blurry they can get, I could still see that they were not happy. They were not joyful. And I remembered why. It's because they were both down with a cold. Jeremy, in fact, had just gotten up from a nap. He had missed a great part of the party because he was upstairs taking a nap because he wasn't feeling well. And Cassie had a little bit of a cold, but the whole thing was, it was her birthday too. Christmas Eve is always her birthday, and it was just so hard to celebrate at that time. And that just brings to the fore that even though we had a house full of people, 30 plus that evening, celebrating Christmas with joy, not everybody was joyful. So how can Paul ask us to be joyful? What's with Paul's encouragement, this request to rejoice in the Lord always? Again, I say rejoice, or as Alice said, be glad in the Lord always. Again, be glad. How can we do that? How can we rejoice in every situation, in every mood that we're in? How can we do that? How can we do that when somebody cuts us off in line at Aldi's? It has happened. How can we do that when we're taking a COVID test at CVS because we've got the sniffles? And that's just the way life is now. You got the sniffles and you go and get that test. How can we rejoice when we've been fired? When we become ill with COVID? When life just looks really rough? Doesn't Paul understand? I mean, it was the same with his church back then. They had hard times too. This new Christian movement was hard. It was hard to follow Jesus. They were outsiders. They were kicked out of the synagogue. They were looked down upon. Every once in a while, there'd be some sort of persecution. It was hard to be a Christian. Sometimes I think Paul has a lot of nerve in asking people to rejoice. Doesn't he understand what people are going through? Doesn't he understand the troubles we've seen? Well, I can answer those last two questions. Yes, he does. And he has shared his own experiences of his own trouble. In another letter to the church in Corinth, Paul is finding that he has to defend himself because other teachers, other preachers came into the church of Corinth after he was there, and they were very charismatic, and many thought, I like this guy better than Paul. Paul himself would call them super apostles. That's actually in there. It doesn't mean they're superheroes. But he was meaning to say that people thought that they were all that. And so Paul finds that he has to defend himself. And so this is how he goes about it. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I'm speaking like a crazy person. What I've done goes well beyond what they've done. I've worked much harder. I've been in prison much more often. I've been beaten more times than I can count. I've faced death many times. I've received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews 5 times. I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was stoned once. I was shipwrecked 3 times. I spent a day and a night on the open sea. I've been on many journeys. I faced dangers from rivers and robbers, my people and Gentiles. I faced dangers in the city, in the desert, on the sea, and from false brothers and sisters. I faced these dangers with hard work and heavy labor, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, and in cold, without enough clothes. Besides all these other things I could mention, there's my daily stress because I'm concerned about all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led astray without me being furious about it? If it's necessary to brag, I will brag about my weaknesses. The God and Father, Lord Jesus, the one who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to capture me, but I got away from him by being lured in a basket from a window in the city wall. I'm thinking Paul knows trouble, don't you? And he's pretty passionate when he's trying to communicate that to the churches in Corinth. I like that last line. It's almost like, oh, wait, I forgot. The city wall in Damascus being lowered there. He wanted to make sure that they knew. When Paul wrote his letter to Philippians, he wasn't at a seaside villa relaxing. He wrote that letter from jail. There's a commentator that I was reading that says, Paul knew what hard times were, and yet he encouraged people to have joy. Not once, not twice, but in that whole letter of Philippians, 14 times, he encouraged people to have joy in whatever circumstances they found themselves within. How can Paul do that? How can Paul do that after experiencing all that he did, that he explained to the Corinthians? How can Paul say rejoice always while he is in jail? Well, it's because Paul is speaking about a joy that goes beyond the circumstances that he is in. It's a joy that is found because the Lord is near. And it's a joy that is powerful. Karl Barth, powerful theologian from the 20th century, would say that joy is a constant, defiant, nevertheless, when that joy is found in the Lord. So you see, when we are doing well, the Lord is near. When we are hurting, the Lord is near. When we are arguing over masks and immunizations about COVID, the Lord is near. When we are anxious and worried about our churches in this time of COVID, and will we be the same or not, the Lord is near. In the midst of political debate and anger between Democrats and Republicans, the Lord is near. In the midst of earthquakes and wildfires and tsunamis, the Lord is near. In the midst of war, as terrible as war is, the Lord is near. And we can connect with that Lord. And we can know joy. Be glad in the Lord. Again, be glad always. Paul knew it was going to be tough. That's why he gave instructions just right after he says rejoice. Right after he says be glad. Did you hear what Alice had said when she read it to you? She shared that from Paul's letter that he says, don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions along with giving thanks. So you're feeling anxious, you're feeling stressed, you're at the end of your rope. What can you do? You go to the Lord who is near in prayer and thanksgiving. Wow. Not feeling like giving thanks, right? Paul knows that. That's why he says do that anyway. Go to the Lord with your prayers and petitions and with giving thanks. Now, a question you could ask is, well, the Lord knows everything. He is omniscient. Doesn't he know what troubles me? Well, yes. But you know, it's good for us to talk it out with God. Have you ever noticed that? When you're feeling anxious, when you're really worried, how you're all out of sorts, how everything just piles on top of you, and you're just feeling really chaotic and you can't think straight, Paul is encouraging believers to focus. Go to God, speak the words that are on your heart. And to give thanks for what you can give thanks. And then Paul says, he says, the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. I've experienced that before. Right after I lost a job in Houston, Texas as a programmer. And I've shared this story before. I'm not going to go in detail. But I got laid off. I wasn't going to church, but I thank the Lord for Tammy who said, let's pray about it. And we did. And people, I experienced a peace. I didn't understand it. I didn't even know what Paul had said. But I experienced a peace, and I experienced a focus to go out and find another job. Now, it wasn't easy. We ended up in Austin, of all places. But what an awesome place Austin was. And I will always remember that peace. I had that same peace even earlier. You know when? When at the age of 19, and Tammy was 18, in the third month of our marriage, we discovered that we were pregnant. We also went to God in prayer. And it was really hard. It's like, Lord, thank you for our marriage and my wife, but and thank you for all things, but we're not even 20 yet. But peace prevailed. If you've had a story like that, if you've had an experience like that, share that with others. Because that's a real joy. John Wesley would understand that. John Wesley, who's the founder of our faith tribe, Methodist, in a tract that he put together, he wrote something called The Character of a Methodist. You should look that up sometime. The Character of a Methodist. And what he said was, Methodists are full of it. What is it? Well, we're full of God. We're full of God such that our bones cry out. Because we know the joy of the Lord in our hearts, and we know the peace of Jesus Christ. And we know the hope of what is to come. And we know that the joy of the Lord is in our heart, and it's the desire of our soul. So he would understand this peace that goes beyond understanding. Paul then wants to help us even more, just like he did the Philippians long ago, by again telling folks, so you're thinking about what to give thanks for? Well, think about this. Focus your thoughts on these things. all that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Have you had those prayers before? Have you focused those prayers before? I can say yes, but I also confess I wish I could focus more often. Because what Paul is sharing here is a way for God to break open our heart so that we can experience the joy of the Lord no matter what our circumstances are. That's why Paul says, practice these things. Because it doesn't come naturally. Practice these things, what you've learned, received, heard, and saw in us. And then the God of peace and the peace of God will be with you. And it is. Corrie ten Boom, y'all know, I think many of you have read, she's a Dutch resistance hero in World War II, and she's written several books. One of them is The Hiding Place, and which is a story about how she and her family, as a part of resistance in World War II, they hid Jews in their home. They had secret rooms there, and they got caught. And everybody got sent, and the family got sent to a concentration camp. Now, the family was split up, but Corrie and her sister Betsy were able to be in the same concentration camp. In fact, they were in the same barracks, which was, they realized, a true blessing. Now, it came to pass, in all the other hardships that they had, the hard labor, the poor food that they were served, the inhumanity that they witnessed, it came to pass that in their barracks, it became infested with fleas. Friends, I've gone into a home that's infested with fleas. I went into a rental house where people had a lot of pets and they did not clean up after them. And I went in and I had on white athletic socks, and within a minute they were black. Yeah, I got out of that house real quick. But this was their living condition, these fleas. Betsy comes to Corrie. Betsy's always a source of strength for Corrie. She says, Corrie, we are to rejoice always, to give thanks always. We need to give thanks for these fleas. And Corrie says, Betsy, even God can't make me pray for a flea. But she prayed anyway. She and Betsy took hands and they prayed, Lord God, we thank you for this trial we're in, and we thank you for these fleas. And in a little bit of time, they realized the truth that the Lord is near and was with them. No, the fleas didn't go away just like that. But what they discovered is that every evening, Corrie and Betsy would get together a Bible study in their barracks, and they would have a little bit of worship, and they would share the Lord with others. And there's always the worry. All it would take is one guard to come by the barracks, and they would take away their Bible, because that they weren't supposed to have one, and they would probably separate them. And so they were constantly worried until they found out that guards didn't come near their barracks because of the fleas. Who knew that fleas were a gift of God? Friends, last week I said you couldn't have an abundant life without love. And the same is said for joy. And we've got to be real about it. Joy is not some sort of emotional feeling. Yay! It's something more real. It's a giving of courage, a giving of strength, a taking of heart, so that we can more than endure life, but we can thrive in it. That's what joy is. And joy in the Lord who is near, is beyond any circumstance that we are in. So yes, in the midst of anything that we're wrestling with, we can rejoice. We can be glad in the Lord always. And so I encourage you, and I take Paul's encouragement to heart. No matter what we encounter in this life, may we rejoice in the Lord always. And not only that, but let's accept the call that one way that we can rejoice in the Lord always is to share that joy with others. Perhaps when somebody is praying to God, "Lord, I don't know what to pray for. My life is crap right now. And yet I rejoice in you." Perhaps you are the person that God sends to another. If you feel that tug on your heart, then honor that tug. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. The Holy Spirit saying you need to share joy with that person. Honor that tug and be a part of the joy that gives the peace of God that is beyond understanding. And all God's people said, amen.